I thought maybe we'd look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 at the traditional view and see if we can see through that, because this is the main place that it's taken from, and it's hard to see once you really get down to looking at it, looking at a few references. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also that are fallen asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we that are alive and that are left unto the coming of the Lord shall in no wise precede them that are fallen asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive and that are left shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Of course, the traditional view is that this is, like I say, the all-fly-away method, and it's, most people believe it's pre-tribulation, everybody flying away. But there's two things that I could like to point out. Number one, he's talking about the time of the coming of the Lord. Okay, and we've already looked at that too, the time of the coming of the Lord. For instance, in 2 Thessalonians, keep your finger there and we'll come back to that. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I've pointed this out to so many people, and they read it like they've never read it before when they see what it's saying here. It's so plain, you know. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, touching the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our gathering together unto him, to the end that you be not quickly shaken from your mind, nor yet be troubled, either by spirit or by word or by epistle as from us, as if the day of the Lord is just at hand. Let no man beguile you in any wise, for it will not be except the falling away come first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." So what he's saying there is that the coming of the Lord is not going to happen. The coming of the Lord and the gathering, Paul's gathering and the other saints gathering together unto the Lord. Paul believed he was going to die. He said he was offered up, right? He said it was time for his offering up. So he believed he was going to die. He also believed he was going to be resurrected and dead. In Philippians, he talked about it, okay? And so, this is the time of the resurrection of the dead and the gathering together of the Lord's people unto him. But he said, it's not going to happen, and don't let anybody deceive you. Verse 3 says, don't let anybody beguile you. It's not going to happen except the falling away come first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He that opposes and exalts himself against all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits in the temple of God, setting himself forth as God. Remember you not that when I was with you, I told you these things. Now, you know, we talked about the spiritual fulfillment of this, you know, about the temple of God being God's people, the son of perdition being those who sit amongst God's people, proclaiming themselves to be God. But there's also a literal fulfillment of this with Israel. And if you believe the timing of this, you see that everybody's saying the church is going to escape. They'll never see the beast. They'll never see all these things that happened to Israel. They'll never see the mark. They'll never see any of that. And yet here he's telling you very clearly that this gathering together unto the Lord is not going to happen unless that happens first. Okay? I mean, that's clear. Another place, Matthew chapter 24. Now, again, we're talking about the ingathering harvest. We're not talking about the first fruits harvest. Because Paul was believing he was going to be resurrected from the dead. And what we'll look at in a minute, we'll see that the resurrection of the dead is not the beginning of the tribulation at all. In Matthew 24 and verse 29, he says, "But immediately after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven." By the way, the stars falling from heaven That's the great falling away that we're talking about. You know, we're as the stars of heaven. You know, the prophecies were about the descendants of Abraham, you know, will be as the stars of the heaven, you know. But a third of the stars are going to fall from heaven, like an unripe fig tree shakes her figs loose, Revelation says. And that's certainly, that's not talking about the angels. That's talking about unripe figs. That's talking about figs that should have come to maturity but did not. And so this is the falling away, and it's also before what? That's right, because it goes on to say, heaven and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. There's the coming of the Lord. Then shall all the tribes of earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send forth his angels, and with the great sound of a trumpet. Notice the trumpet now, because that's the same thing we saw in Thessalonians, the trumpet, right? The great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And also, you might make a note that the same verse is mentioned in Mark 13 and 27, except there's one little change in it. He said he'll send forth his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of earth to the uttermost part of heaven. There's a little change there, but it makes you to know something, that one end of heaven is here, because in this verse it says, from one end of heaven to the other. One end of heaven is on the earth. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is among you, he said. And so, the end of heaven that we enter in is right here. We enter into the kingdom of heaven right here, or we don't enter it at all. You enter in the kingdom of heaven here. And he's going to gather together his elect from the uttermost parts of earth to the uttermost parts of heaven, or from one end of heaven to the other. See, heaven don't have any size this way. Heaven's this way. Here's where we enter in. There's the uttermost of heaven, you see, spiritually speaking. But the point is, the gathering together of God's people are those who are already dead and gone on, and those that are alive and remain. We just read it in Thessalonians. But when does this happen? Verse 29. But immediately after the tribulation of those days. Again, it's not before, it's after the tribulation of those days. He identifies it by the sun darkening and the moon not giving her light. Okay? Okay, let's go to Revelation and look at the same thing happening. Revelation chapter 6.
This is the escape has already happened, right?
The first fruits has already happened at the beginning. What we're talking about is the ingathering harvest, the majority of God's people that are going to be gathered in.
Church going through tribulation.
We're talking about the coming of the Lord.
Yeah.
We're not talking about a pre-trib escape. We're talking about the coming of the Lord to gather together his elect, all of his elect, everybody, from heaven to earth, all of them. Gathered together. Okay?
The ones that are left behind.
Right. And the key is, he said, but after the tribulation of those days.
Yes.
Okay? And he says, it's the time when the sun is dark and the moon doesn't give her light and the stars fall from it. So look in Revelation 6 and you can see when that time is. Revelation 6 and 12. Revelation chapter 6 is one of those chapters that goes from the beginning to the end. It encompasses the whole thing. It's like Revelation 12. Okay? Like Revelation 14. Both of those chapters, they go from the beginning to the end. They cover 8 years. Okay? And what you're looking at here at the end of chapter 6 is the end. It comes right up to the great and terrible day of the Lord. It says, and I saw when he opened the sixth seal, Revelation 6 and 12, and there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. There it is, right there. The sun becoming black. And the whole moon became as blood. And the stars of the heaven fell unto the earth, as a fig tree casts her unripe figs when she's shaken of a great wind. Now what did he say? Our gathering together unto him would not be except the falling away come first. Now, this is the falling away. This is the third of the stars of heaven that the dragon pulled out of the heavens and threw down to the earth in Revelation 12. It's a falling away because of the deception that the dragon is spewing forth. Okay? And one place in Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah chapter 7, it says, the prophet speaketh lies is the tale. You know, the tail of the dragon drew a third of the stars of heaven and drug them down there. Everybody says that's the angels. Maybe there is a dual part of it, but I know one thing, that it is the falling away. And here it is right here. It says, the unripe figs, when she's shaken of a great wind. And the heaven was removed as a scroll when it is rolled up. And every mountain and island was moved out of their places. The kings of the earth and the princes and the chief captains and the rich and the strong and every bondman and free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And they say unto the mountains and unto the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath is come. And who is able to stand? Notice all the heathens of the earth see the Lord. Did you notice that? Now look, that don't happen until the end. They've got an excuse to not believe and to explain things away naturally right up to the end. But here, they're going to see the Lord. And in the Bible, we just read it in Matthew 24, that they send forth his angels, and all the tribes of the earth shall see the Son of Man. They're going to see the Lord. Except here, it's too late, because this is entering into a time called the great day of his wrath, the great and terrible day of the Lord. It's after the 7 years, and we'll look at that too. It's after the 7 years. Remember, Daniel's 70th week was a week, but each day in that week was a year, the 7 years of tribulation. Well, there's one day called this following. It's also a year, but it's not a day determined upon thy people as Daniel's 70th week is. It's a day that's called the day of the Lord. In other words, it's a day when man has got nothing to do with it. It's going to be completely and directly controlled from God, and it's going to be judgment that's going to be poured out upon the earth. And these men fear that judgment. They see the Son of Man. They fear the judgment. Now look what's happened here. We read 12 and 13 when the sun and the moon grow dark and the stars fall and the falling away happens. And chapter 7 explains what's just happened. For one thing, from 1 on down through 8, he seals the 144,000 Jews to go through the great and terrible day of the Lord so that they won't be hurt. The scripture says. Then, in verse 9, there's this great multitude that just happens to be with the Lord. Okay, now how did they get there? Well, that is the group that escaped back in verse 12 at the time of the sun and the moon and so on. And it says in verse 9 of Revelation 7 and 9, after these things I saw, and behold, a great multitude. Remember, we studied the great multitude the other night. We saw the bride, and we saw the great multitude. Two groups in Revelation 19. The bride was in the bridal ceremony, but the rest were invited to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The great multitude got invitations. The bride didn't get the invitations. Okay, there was two groups there. Now here's the great multitude. It says, after these things I saw, and behold, a great multitude which no man could number, out of every nation, all tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne, so they're with the Lord, right? And before the Lamb, arrayed in white robes, palms in their hands, and they cry with a great voice, saying, salvation unto our God who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels were standing round about the throne and about the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, these that are arrayed in the white robes, who are they, and whence come they? And I say unto him, my Lord, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they that come out of the great tribulation. All right? not the first three and a half, but the great tribulation. And they washed their robes, and they made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night. In other words, what we're saying is, chapter 6 led all the way up to the great and terrible day of the Lord, and at the end, God gathered together his people at the time the sun and the moon was darkened, after the tribulation, at the end of the tribulation, because all through the great tribulation, saints are going to be martyred. I don't say, maybe not all through it, but through most of it, saints are going to be martyred.
I mean, 16, 17 too, David.
Okay.
Is that the five months out of the year, each year that when the gods of the each year of tribulation, so 5 months of, what happens to the rest of the 7 months? Yeah, because don't like the plagues and the things only last for 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
What happens the rest of the 7 months of the year?
Of which year are you talking about?
I can't remember. I remember that, but the locusts coming
in the world. Isn't the terrible day of the Lord?
In the great day of the Lord, there's many, the vile judgments, bowls of wrath are
poured out in the great day of the Lord.
The tribulation?
They're not in the tribulation.
No. Oh, okay.
No. You see, that's where a lot of people have made their mistake, and they have the tribulation confused. They have the 7 years confused and mixed up with the eighth day.
See,
at the time that the bowls are poured out, there's not going to be any of God's people on the earth but the sealed ones.
Yeah.
Who? The sealed 144,000 Jewish remnant.
Right.
They're going to be sealed. And this wrath is going to be poured out. And the Bible goes on to say at least three times in the book of Revelation that nobody repented. Nobody repented. In the great day of the Lord, nobody is going to repent. Because God's not going to grant repentance. God grants repentance, you see. The only ones that will be repented in the great day of the Lord.
But His Spirit will be here to help them repent, though.
His Spirit will be here, but it'll be in that 144,000 that He sealed from Revelation 7, 1 through 8. They're sealed.
David, the ones that are left here after Jesus takes the saints. Tribulation,
you know,
he comes back, takes the
sun. Mm-hmm.
The ones that are left here are the
heathens,
the ones that, and the
144,000. In the great day of the Lord, yes.
The day of the Lord.
Yes. It's the day of the Lord's wrath.
Yeah. They are the ones that are left here today.
The church is not appointed unto this wrath. But let's go back to 1 Thessalonians again, and maybe after we get through we can make a little bar chart or something, okay? But back at 1 Thessalonians 4, there's another point I'd like to bring out. Not only the coming of the Lord is not the beginning of the tribulation, it's at the end, but the other point I'd like to bring out about this rapture is that it's with the trump of God. Okay? That's in verse 16, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16. The trump of God. Now, we read one in Matthew 24 where the trump of God was blown and God gathered together his elect, but it was after the tribulation. We read it. All right? Okay? The trump of God also is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15. You'll never find a trump of God at the beginning of the tribulation period. In 1 Corinthians 15, in 52, it says, 51, it says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We all shall not sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Okay, so here's the trump, and it's identified as the last trump. Well, there were seven trumps mentioned in the book of Revelation. And if you picked out the last one, for instance, in Revelation chapter 11, if you picked out the last one, it'd be Revelation 11 and 15. That's the last trump. And it says the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, okay? And there were followed great voices in heaven. And they said, the kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. In other words, this is the time when God takes over. And he starts pouring out his wrath. Okay? What you see happening after this is the great judgment of God's wrath being poured out on this wicked world, minus the believers. Okay? But here's the last trump, and it says the kingdom has become the Lord's. Okay? The last trump's not at the beginning of the tribulation period, it's at the end of the tribulation period.
Why did they get that trumpet that blows and everybody goes?
Yeah,
at the beginning of the tribulation.
Like
where do they get that? It's fantasy.
Gives people comfort, you know.
Yeah, I just wonder where the scripture.
So actually,
no, there is none. There is none. They pick it from 1 Thessalonians 4, and as far as it being pre-trib, there just absolutely is no foundation to it.
David, I'd like to know what the other ones are.
The other ones what?
The trumpets. When they're blown.
They're judgments. All of them are judgments.
Oh, okay.
Before chapter 10 and chapter 11. They're judgments. Every one of them is blown, is bringing a judgment upon the earth. You know, that's to say, look, there are a lot of judgments that aren't in the great and terrible day of the Lord. The 7 years is not a happy 7 years, you know. That's why it calls the last 3.5 great tribulation, you know, because it's terrible. It's a terrible time.
So to put it bluntly, you're saying some of us in this room will have to do what Jesus said, do. Lose your life to save it.
Everybody will have to do it, or they'll lose it.
So I'm talking about physically.
Yeah. Oh.
Denying Christ denying
Christ. It's possible. We have an opportunity to bear fruit now, and that's when we should be doing it. That's God's motivation.
But I thought the first fruits was already picked.
That's right. This is not talking about the first fruits.
First
Thessalonians chapter 4 is talking about the time of the resurrection of the dead. When are the dead resurrected? Well, go to 1 Corinthians 15. Let's see when the dead are resurrected. We'll know when this rapture happens in 1 Thessalonians 4 when we see when the dead are resurrected, because they're happening simultaneously right here. And if you go to 1 Corinthians 15 in 22, it says, 21, it says, for since by man came death, by man came also resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ, the first fruit, then they that are Christ at his coming. Okay, notice there's only two resurrections of the righteous dead there. Christ, the first fruit. By the way, there was no S on the end of that. There's no numeric pattern in that. That was strictly added conjecturally. It was first fruit, singular. Then they that are Christ at his coming. That's two. That's only two. Now, think about it. If there is only two, Christ has already happened. There's only one left. If it happened at the beginning of the tribulation period, then all the people that died as martyrs in the tribulation period wouldn't be resurrected. It's common sense, right? I mean, that's also what Revelation chapter 20 says, 20 and verse 5. Those that are resurrected, that go through the tribulation period, they've come off victorious from the beast now. In verse 4, Revelation 24, it says, I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and the judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God. And such as worshipped not the beast, neither his image, and received not the mark upon their forehead and upon their hand, and they lived. Here it is, resurrection dead right here. And they lived. In other words, this happened after the time of the beast, the mark of the beast, and these people that were killed going through this era were resurrected. And it says, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years should be finished. This is the first resurrection. When is the first resurrection? It's after the time of the beast, because he just got through saying in verse 4, these were people that came through that period. You see that?
Till the 1,000 years were completed.
No, that's the second resurrection.
But
then he goes back and says, this is the first resurrection.
Mm-hmm. That's tribulation.
Right. So the first resurrection that anybody is going to see is at the end of the tribulation period. That's why it says, we that are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. Why? Because that's not going to be an easy task.
No.
You know? I mean, you're talking about martyred saints all through the last 3.5 years. And so it makes that point. We that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord won't precede them that have fallen asleep. In other words, there'll be a resurrection of the dead, and then God's going to quicken those that are left on the earth. You know? And that resurrection of the dead is this one. There is no pre-tribulation resurrection of the dead at all. There is no such thing. And Jesus said the same thing. He said it in John chapter 6. Look at that, John chapter 6.
I have a question before you go any
further. Okay.
What about the ones that have already died? They come up the same time the live ones are?
In 1 Thessalonians 4, that's what we read. It says that those that are alive and remain won't precede them that are falling asleep. God will resurrect the dead.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, is that the dead all the way back to Abraham?
Yeah.
Yeah, all of Abraham's bosom was taken by the Lord when he was resurrected. And so all the righteous dead will be resurrected at that time.
Yeah, so will.
All the righteous dead. And they'll receive their new body at that time. And so, but Jesus told us when this happened too. Look in John chapter 6. It's very plain. This is, look. If you just look in your concordance, everywhere we're talking about the resurrection of the dead, you're going to come up with this same thing I'm saying. It's not. It's as though people have been blind and or hadn't cared to look. They've just swallowed tradition. John 6, after we talked about it, we can write it out on a board and look at it, okay? It says in John 6 and 39, and this is the will, that of all that which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. He didn't say 7 years before the last day. He said the last day. Okay? So once you identify this, and he says it again. Let's see, down in verse 44, he says, and I will raise him up in the last day. Okay? Not 7 years, again, in the last day. Once you identify the timing of 1 Thessalonians 4, you can see that the all-fly-away method and theory is wrong, you know, because that's the time of the resurrection of the dead. But we can tie it down even closer than that. For instance, go to Daniel chapter 12. You want to really tie it down close. Daniel chapter 12 ties it down close. I mean close to the day. He'll tell you when the resurrection of the dead is, and you know, people have obviously not read this. The preachers and teachers that have taught that have not read this, have not bothered to really look into it for themselves. They've just taught what they've been taught. That's all. In Daniel 12 and 11. Okay, now, let me give you a little background here. Back in Daniel 9 and 27, it talks about the beast making a covenant with Israel for 1 week. And then breaking that covenant in the middle of the week. And that's the 70th week of Daniel. It's a week of years. It's 7 years. It's a 7-year period that the covenant is going to be made with Israel. And it's going to be broken in the middle of the week, which is 3.5 years, okay? Now, he's going to explain something to you about the resurrection of the dead here. He says in verse 11, from the time the continual burnt offering shall be taken away. And that happened when, in the midst of the week, the beast stopped Israel from making their sacrifice, okay? From the time the continual burnt offering shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Okay?
2.5 years.
Yeah, a little over 3.5 years. Okay? Now, but look at the next statement. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. 1,335 days. There you go. Okay? But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and shalt stand in thy lot. Who's he talking to? Daniel. At the end of the days. Okay? At the end of what days? The ones he just mentioned. Alright? 1,335 days. Okay? So that tells you from the middle of the week when the abomination or when the sacrifice is broken from the middle of the week, you can count 1,335 days and you will come to the resurrection of the dead. Because Daniel was going to stand in his lot with his group at that time, you know. People were blessed to be standing in their lot at that time. That's the time of the resurrection of the dead. And it's at the beginning of what the Bible calls the great and terrible day of the Lord. It's the absolute last. Ma'am?
All these people back here in the Old Testament, the prophets of God and righteous,
the righteous dead
are still sleeping.
Well, not sleeping. The Bible says that the souls were underneath the altar in Revelation 6, crying out for their brethren who were being tormented on the earth. And God said, rest for a little while until the rest of your brethren have come in. You know, he told those that were underneath the altar. They hadn't received a new body yet. The new bodies will be given at the same time. The reward and the new body will be given at the same time. And that's going to be at the time of the resurrection of the dead.
The ones under the altar are the old.
Yeah. Notice it said souls. It didn't say, you know, it said the soul.
But they're not conscious.
Yeah, they're conscious.
They're crying out.
They're with, the Bible says to be absent
from your body.
From the body is to be present with the Lord. In other words, when you die, you go to be with the Lord.
One or the other.
The only difference is you're not going to have your new body yet. Now that really destroys their main gun because that's what they believe. You know, 1 Thessalonians 4 is teaching. They believe that that's teaching that everybody's going to fly away at the time of the coming of the Lord, and the Lord's coming is at the beginning of the tribulation, which is not true. You know, the man-child is caught up to the throne of God at the beginning of the tribulation. You know, the first fruits are taken, and they stand upon the heavenly Mount Zion with Jesus at the beginning of the tribulation. You know? The Lord is not coming to the earth at the beginning of the tribulation. The time the Lord's coming to the earth, the Bible says every eye is going to see him. And if he came at the beginning of the tribulation and every eye saw him, believe me, that would change the whole ball game. You know? When they see him, it's too late. When the world sees Jesus, it's too late for the world. Look what Job said in Job 14. Remember we read it in Revelation chapter 6, that the heaven would be removed as a scroll. It would be rolled up as a scroll. It would be removed. Right? In Revelation 14 verse 12, it says, so man lieth down, and riseth not till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake. See, now when is there going to be a resurrection of the dead? At the beginning of the tribulation period. It's impossible. And even Job, far back as Job was, and Job was really one of the first books, did you know that? Job was way back there now. He was back in the days of Jacob and Esau. That's when Job was alive. And he said, till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake. The first indication, 14 and 12, in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 14, is where the heavens is removed as a scroll and the stars fall to the earth, the great falling away, the spewing out of the lukewarm, you know, all that happens right there. They lose their position in heaven as they lose their position as being in the church at that time. It's like the man that came to the wedding feast and didn't have on the wedding garment and was thrown out into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, he was a Christian. because he came to the wedding feast. It's just that he wasn't dressed up with Jesus Christ. And the dress, of course, we read in Revelation 19, the white robe of the wedding garment was the righteous acts of the saints. In other words, we're going to be judged by our works. Christians are going to be judged by their works.
You know? Christ.
Yeah. And those that don't have righteous works, they're not going to be permitted. They will not stay in the marriage supper. They will be cast out. And that's when they lose their position in the body of Christ. That's when Jesus spews them out of the body of Christ. That's when the stars, a third of them, fall to the earth, so on and so forth. But remember what we read also in 2 Thessalonians, that the gathering together unto the Lord, the coming of the Lord and the gathering together unto the Lord wouldn't happen until the falling away came first. You see that? See, everything we're talking about proves most of the scriptures that people use for pre-tribulation rapture are actually post-tribulation scriptures. And I'm not denying a pre-tribulation rapture. I'm just saying most of the scriptures that they use for it, they're not proving that at all. They're proving just the opposite. You understand? However, what we've been looking at about this pre-tribulation rapture is not of the nature that the worldly church has said it was either. It's not a matter of God's perfecting the people and then getting them out of the way and them living the rest of their time in heaven. They've been perfected for a purpose, and it is to bring Jesus to the world. You know, it is to feed the woman in the wilderness. It is to the little sister in Song of Solomon. It's to feed the little sister and bring her to maturity in Song of Solomon. It was there's just so many places the same parallel is done. When, for instance, again, I go back to the time when Moses came out of Egypt. Moses had killed the Egyptian, remember? And he fled from Egypt. Who was the Egyptian? The Egyptian's the old man, and the Israelite is the new man. It was when Christ died on the cross that he crucified the old man. He put to death the old man. And what did he do? He left, right? He left earth, and he was caught up to God, right? Okay? Now, Moses, same thing happened to Moses. Moses killed the Egyptian, and he went to the mountain of God. Okay, Moses was the type of Christ. Everything that happened to Jesus, you go back over there, you can see it happening to Moses. Okay, and so Moses put to death his old man, the Egyptian, and he was caught out to the mountain of God. He was separated from Israel. He married a Gentile bride, which, like we said, was one of seven daughters. The bride is not the whole church. He married one of seven daughters of Reuel's seven daughters. He married one of them. And then he was in the mountain of God. Okay? And then the first fruits unto Moses was Aaron. Aaron came out to meet Moses, and he came out and he met Moses in the mountain of God, and he kissed him, and he turned and went back. Him and Moses were sent back by the Lord to Israel to deliver Israel from bondage in Egypt. That's the job of the man-child. Jesus went out. The man-child's going out, caught up to the throne of God, same as Aaron was, caught up to the throne of God to be with Jesus, Moses, right? They're both going to come back. You know, the man-child's going to come back in the spirit and power and anointing and the presence of the Lord Jesus. And they're coming back for a purpose, to deliver God's people who are in the world, Egypt, from the bondage of Pharaoh, the beast. You see? The parallel is the same. It's the same thing happening over and over. It happened in Jesus' day. It happened in Moses' day. And it's happening in our day. It happened when the children were killed in Moses' day. Right? There was an attempt to kill the man-child. It happened in Jesus' day. There was an attempt to kill the man-child. The children died, right? It's happening in our day. The children are dying. You know, this is not something that's happened all through history. This debacle that's happening now, you know, this abortion thing, you know. But it's happening in our day. All those parallels, history just keeps repeating itself, you see. So anyway, Aaron went back to deliver the people of God. And when you go back and read it, you'll see what I'm talking about. It was not Moses who physically did the works. It was not Moses who spoke the words. It was Aaron. He took the rod. Aaron took the rod. He did the works. He spoke the word that delivered the people of God. Aaron spoke the word that brought the judgments upon Egypt that made Pharaoh want to turn God's people loose. And the judgments in the book of Revelation are going to be spoken through the mouth of the man-child.
That's the last 3.5 years of tribulation on that.
No, for the first 3.5 years. See, there's two things that are going to happen. For the first 3.5 years, God's going to protect His church from physical harm so that they can have time to be taught and educated by the man-child. Okay? For the second 3.5 years, that's going to be their big trial because they're not going to have nobody holding their hand. Now they're going to be out there in the midst of trial, and they're either going to have an opportunity to deny their Lord or to stand with Him, you know. And in the second 3.5 years, there's not going to be any protection as far as protection from the beast. You see, they're going to be, many of them are going to be martyred for the work of Jesus in the second 3.5 years. But the same story is told in the book of Esther. The same story. In the book of Esther, you know, Esther was the bride, and she came out of the house of the women and went into the house of the king, Ahasuerus, and she went back to the house of the women and stayed in the house of the women. And from there, she was given a decree to save the people of God from the beast, which was Haman. The whole prophetic story is in the book of Esther, and it's beautiful. You know, it's beautiful. The same thing has happened over and over and over. Another good example was Abraham. Abraham was another type of the man-child. Because when Lot was in Sodom, which was the type of the world, Abraham was with God in Canaan's land. See, in the promised land, he was with God. And he petitioned God for Lot, who was still in Sodom. And God even, one time, for instance, when Abraham was with Melchizedek, Melchizedek was the type of God, you see. Abraham was with Melchizedek, and Lot came under the bondage of the 10 kings. Remember the 10 horns? Okay? Under the bondage of the 10 horns. Abraham came out of Canaan's land and went into Sodom to save Lot from the 10 kings. When he delivered him, he left and went back to Canaan's land, back to Melchizedek. Okay? Then later, Lot went through the great tribulation when Sodom and Gomorrah was being destroyed. And Abraham was petitioning God for Lot, who was in Sodom. Yeah. And God saved Lot out of Sodom. But Abraham wasn't in there that time. He was in there for the first part, delivering him from the beast, you see. He wasn't there for the second part, see.
That was Abraham?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Abraham.
I didn't know that.
It pleaded. If there's so many people, if there's three, if there's one.
Well, he
right.
went down there the first time. Right. He went down
and you just point to the direction and think somebody is good.
Yeah. And then that's like the man-child's going to do. The first 3.5, they're going to be.
Yeah, Abraham was lost.
They're going to teach it.
Right.
So they've already gone up to the throne room and come back to do this 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Right. Now look, watch it. This has happened before. This has happened before. It happened with Aaron, and it happened with Jesus.